Thank you so much. That's great. Thank you. All right, so to you from the scriptures. We're going to read Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So, let's have the next one. My technology is going to work. Right, Danny, next slide.
Forge sends men and women
on a 9-month missions trip
to a place we've all overlooked
and neglected.
To a place where at least 60% of the population
will not join you in a church service.
To a place that isn't found in a vacation guide.
To a place you've seen often
but never actually noticed.
Your own neighborhood.
I think one of the most significant things that I want to sort of say today is this, that actually we are called to be missionaries. We're all called to be missionaries where we are. And actually, I'm not going to recruit you to Forge America or even Forge Scotland particularly, but I just thought that was an interesting thing about, you know, you're already sent, you're already actually commissioned by God. There isn't anything further that God needs to say to you, that actually, you know, it's already done. It's a done deal. We are already sent. And so, and that's something that we knew very much when we kind of came to White Inch at the beginning. In White Inch at the beginning, 1994, 1995, we did a survey, and at that point, we found out that of the 4,800 people that live in White Inch, only 6 of them were going to came to the parish church, not to St. Paul's, but to Scotstoun White Inch Parish Church. 6 out of 4,800. 6 out of 4,800. There is a huge number of people who live in this community who don't know anything about God and who have never come across him, and just don't know anything about his love. If we are in any doubt at all, even now, today, with the folks that are here, you know, that we are only scratching the surface of what it is that God is wanting to do amongst us, then, you know, then actually we've missed the point. God is sending us out into the community to see them just loved into relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's actually what we want our church to be. That's what the Urban Monastery mission base is all about. But I want to sort of talk to you about how this is going to happen. And in one sense, I'm talking about, you know, as we roll forward over the years, I want to talk about this. So let's put this one up. Okay, so we have extractional church, which basically is a come to us, gathered everybody, you know, come to us. And in some ways, that's what we've already sort of seen. And here we are, church as we are just now. And over the next wee while, this is what's going to happen. Ta-da! Hit the button, Danny. We're going to grow, you know, and I think that's right. I think we are going to grow. I think we're going to see more people come to faith. I think we're going to see more people coming in. I think we're going to see more chairs put out, and that's good. And then what's going to happen? We're going to go grow some more, and we're going to get bigger. And that's, again, that's fine. That's okay. And then, do you want to have a guess what's going to happen next? Correct. We're going to grow some more and some more and some more. Now, let me just tell you that all of the statistics tell you that the churches grow on at the fastest period of church growth in terms of church size is between 50 and 120. So we are actually prime position to grow rapidly. But then what it sort of says is that actually churches level off and they stop growing and they actually kind of like, and it says, and it's to do with social dynamics and to do with group size and stuff like that. And so, actually, this model actually only gets you so far. All right? So if we've got 4,800 people that live in White Inch, this is only going to get us so far. This isn't going to reach to the so that all of the folks that come can come. And actually, there's something about us thinking that this thing here that we do as we gather together is the thing that is church, which needs to stop, which needs to change. We need to understand that there are lots of different ways that God is wanting to do church. And actually, for some people, this really doesn't work. It really doesn't work. And actually, I just want to sort of say, if you're like me and actually, you know, you're aware of that, and you're just kind of, you know, you're pushing into church because actually you know that that's what you need to do, because it's good, it is really important to be part of a fellowship, but actually this thing here doesn't really work all that well for you for a whole variety of different reasons. Maybe it's to do with the time, maybe it's to do with the way that we do worship, maybe it's to do with the way that you learn or the way that you function or the relationships you're in or the way that you do kind of, or your walk with God. I just want to sort of say to you that I absolutely understand that and empathize entirely with you. And that our desire, our intention is not to do this. Our intention is not to continue only to function like this. So what we want to do is the next thing, right, Danny? This is what we want to create. What we actually want to create, this looks like some sort of form of botulism, and I don't know if you can read the words, but right in the middle there, a big blob says Urban Monastery, but then around it has all these wee dots, and then some say missional communities, others say sister churches, and then there's a really fat one over here, which is the sister church. And actually, what we want to do is we want to actually create a whole variety of different types and patterns of church. And so that's partly the reason why we kick off with small groups. You know, these wee dots, the small groups. And then we want to kind of create what we would describe as missional communities. And I'm going to talk a bit more about that. And then we want to, and then some of these will grow and they'll float off and they'll actually become related to us, but they'll be like sister churches, and that's actually part of what's going on. And that's always been our aspiration, that's always been our desire, and that's important for us to understand that that's what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it. What we need to do, so let me just explain a wee bit more about this. The reason that we're doing this is because we need to stop working on the basis that people are going to come to us, and we need to start going to them, okay? And this is a simple kind of principle that Jesus taught when he left heaven and he came to earth. He left the place where he was comfortable, where he knew all his stuff, where he had all his good stuff going on. He was, you know, full of glory, all that kind of stuff. He left all of that. The Bible says in Philippians 2, he emptied himself of all of these things so that he would be able to come to us, so that we would know what God's love looked like. Right? That's actually what God does. That is his method, that is his pattern, and we in the church need to recognize that. What does that mean? That means that actually there's going to be times where we are sent, we're going to be sent, and actually we need to work out what it means to leave behind the stuff that makes us comfortable, makes us feel as though we're at home, to go to those who as yet don't know. Okay? And we're going to do that over there's a whole series of different things that we're going to do, but that's actually what God does. And we want to participate in the mission of God. We want to follow after him. And so there's something about, this is what the church used to do, okay, in terms of kind of mission strategy, outreach strategy. What we would do is we would kind of like, yes, this is really good, we're in the church, ready, go! Right, well, we're in the church, church is really good, go! Yeah, you get the idea. Okay, thank you, Helen. There you go. Thank you. But that's what we did. Oh, are you leaving now? Don't leave. take the opportunity to go and get someone else. Right, good for you. Well done. Sorry. We rehearsed that for hours earlier. That was. But that's what we used to do. We used to kind of run out, grab people, and drag them back in. That's missing the point. That's missing the point. What we actually need to do is we need to say, we really love you. We really love you. We really love being part of church. That's great. We're going to go over here now. And we're going to live with some of this stuff. And we're going to live with these guys. And then we're going to do church here. We're going to work out what church looks like here. And then we're going to do church here. And the intention is not so that they would then come back. The intention is that then what would happen is these guys would come to faith. And then we would say, we really love you. We really do. Off you go. And they would take another step further out and reach the people that are over here. You see, the problem that we have at the moment, when we have this extracting everybody coming to this great big thing that we do, when we get that as our only way of thinking about what we're doing, then actually we miss the point, which is that actually Jesus wants the good news of Jesus Christ to go to the ends of the earth. You know, he wants them to go and to go and to go. And this is the thing. So here's what happens for most people who actually who get rescued and dragged in. Within 6 months, they will have lost almost all of their non-Christian contacts. We socialize people into Christian activity, and they do not have any non-Christian friends. That's actually what happens for the vast majority of people. I remember a guy who some of you know, but anyway, it doesn't matter who he is. But the thing is that he came from an alcoholic background. He was living on the streets. His life was a disaster. He got into so many fights. He'd been to prison. Classic story. You come to the Ark, you hear the story every week. And what happened was he got saved. He got radically saved, and that's what we want. But listen, this is what happened. What happened was that because he was extracted and dropped into church culture, and because actually what church said to him was, Christianity is about modifying your behavior, which basically is about becoming like us, he lost the radical edge of one who was able to actually kind of, you know, go and to share with others. And it was one of the most frustrating things to ever watch him doing it, because I knew what was happening and I watched him. I wasn't in relation close enough to do anything about it, but that was one of the most frustrating things. Whereas what should have happened is this. He should have been able to stay where he was. He should have been discipled and brought into an understanding of Christ where he was, and then he should have been released amongst his friends. And then he should have been empowered to actually start something there. And then when he'd done that, he wouldn't have come back that way to church. He would have gone that way to the next bunch who don't know anything about Jesus. And that's the point that I'm trying to get at, okay? So when we think about what we're doing, yes, I actually do think this thing will grow bigger. It will, because I think there's something about the resource church thing that we need to do, where we need to train and equip and all the rest of it. But more and more, we're going to be speaking about things like, you know, why don't you and a group of people focus on a particular group to share the love of God with and actually create church around them? And you know, you won't have to come every Sunday. I know, Gary's excited about that. You won't have to come every Sunday, you know, because actually you're doing your thing over here. And that's church. And we are like a kind of a hub with satellites spinning around it, okay? Yes, we'll dip in. Yes, we'll be in relationship. Yes, we'll be in network together. But we're going to empower and enable people to get out, to connect with other people, to be able to, to go further. And then, oh, how exciting to send people out from there into the next thing. And from there into the next thing, because we actually want to see the whole of our community one for Christ. And we, as this, can't do it. We just can't. It's not going to work. This is helpful. Please don't stop coming. But actually, because listen, there will be a point in the next year or two where we will actually say to you, stop coming. Because actually, you're doing church somewhere else. Not here on a Sunday morning. You're going to do it somewhere else. And actually, you know, you'll only need to come in. So there's some churches that are already functioning like this. So they have three, you know, some churches are doing like three Sundays in, one Sunday out. Some people are kind of spinning around and doing much more, you know, so they're actually got it the other way around. So they actually only come in once a month, and other people are away for 3 weeks. And why is that? Because we want to genuinely empower people to use this as a mission base. We want you to be enabled and empowered to go and reach people and to build new patterns of church community, wherever that happens to be. All right? And so here's our kind of three steps that we're trying to do. We're trying to do small groups, which are just contact, connection, relationships. Missional communities, which are focused groups who have a clear mission target. You know, so they're sort of saying, I want to reach Hindland Secondary, for example. You know, we want to reach Hindland Secondary. So that's our kind of, those 650 kids, they're the ones that we're really praying for. They're the ones that we're really kind of going for, okay? And so actually, that, you know, that could create, that's how actually, I think, you know, the guys from Encounter actually are quite close towards moving towards being a missional community already, because they've already got a target that they're going for, and they're now building towards. But beyond that, we will actually get to the stage where we see those birthed, and then they actually are big enough, and it doesn't help them to have to keep coming back to us, because they're ready to do their own thing, sister churches, and we're going to see that come too. I'm really glad you came back, Helen, by the way. That's one. A wee bit worried there for a moment. I'll put you off. Okay. No, you were brilliant. So that's a bit about how the thing's going to work. I hope that, I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, does anyone have any questions about that? Anyone got any thoughts about that? Yes, Jill. So you're talking about the pattern of Jesus. So went. Yeah. So what Jesus then? Sorry, I should have got the microphone. So Jill's sort of saying, where do we see this in the life of Jesus, basically? Where do you see the kind of this kind of pattern? And I suppose the answer to that would be, you do see that, so you have the temple and the synagogue. So you actually sort of see Jesus going to Jerusalem as part of the festivals. So there were big times of big festivals where they went to Jerusalem, and they all gathered together, big crowds gathered together, and then they would sort of dissipate back into their local synagogues, and that's again what would happen. But beyond that, and the other thing that you kind of see is Jesus meandering around the place, I think would be the best way to describe it, and what he did was, you know, he would teach and then he would move on, and he would teach and he would move on. And actually, in one sense, he was kind of, he was sharing the message, seeing people. So it talks about, you know, he went to the area around the women in Samaria. So the women at Samaria, met at the well, met with the woman. The woman then kind of, you know, heard that story. And because she was so impacted and told her friends, they came, they heard. They invited them to stay for a couple of days. They stayed and talked for a couple of days, it says. And they then, you know, that community was transformed, but he then moved on. Okay, so there are different patterns of, you know, of this kind of stuff. What you do see, though, is you see this more as the church develops in the New Testament. So you sort of see a kind of a not only a kind of a, the temple stuff that was happening in Jerusalem, but you also had them meeting in houses and in the temple. So in the houses, the houses aren't like our houses that only take maybe 10, 12 people at the most. There were households that would take 75, 80 people. So they were like missional community size. And you would actually sort of see some of that sort of stuff happening there. So, and they would then even send people out beyond. So Paul and Silas went off in missionary journeys, and you saw them taking Timothy with them. And then they started the church in Ephesus, and then they left Timothy behind, and he then looked after them, and they went off again. And so you begin to sort of see it a wee bit more. It's probably more obvious in the Acts of the Apostles in terms of just sort of seeing this kind of pattern. Any other questions or any other comments? Yes. Hello. Not going to church at all. That's absolutely right. You know, that's right. And I think there's a whole bunch of opportunities and different things that people can people can connect with. I'm saying the Lord's Prayer. There's a whole lot of things that people can connect with. And actually, that's true. And it's interesting. So, I mean, I think that, for example, the most obvious example of it for in our situation, I think, is, you know, some of our teenagers actually, well, a lot of our teenagers, I would suspect, you know, this doesn't really work all that well for. And actually, we want them to have their own thing. And so, and we want to be able to sort of say to them when they go to their own thing, that is actually church, and we're not expecting you to turn up. I mean, teenagers, I don't know, they hate getting out of bed. You know, I mean, certainly my two do. And it's like, you know, and Sunday morning is not a good time. But, you know, I'm just sort of saying, it's better for them to go somewhere else that they fit, and for us to see that as a good thing, rather than to sort of say one size needs to fit all. The whole thing needs to fit all, but not the individual bits. They can be kind of differentiated. Any other questions? Yes, Pamela. You're excited. We can tell. I know, that's good. I think that's great. Let me just talk a wee bit about those of you who what we need is the full range of the body of Christ functioning, okay? So some of us are evangelists. Some of us are more prophetic. Some of us are more pastoral. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are more apostolic, so we look at different things. So these gifts, these ways of lenses through which we kind of sort of see church, you know, we see it in different ways, we understand it in different ways. And actually what we're talking about is trying to work out how can everybody's gift be well used, right? So there are some of us who are probably listening to this and kind of going, man alive, they're bonkers. You know, I couldn't be doing with any of that. I just want it to be, I want to create kind of like a healthy, safe place where people can come and, you know, and actually they can fit in and, you know, and they can be taught and, you know, and you're probably thinking that, and if you're thinking that, that's probably because you've got pastoral or teaching gifts, which are great. And listen, the evangelists, I'll tell you, they're absolutely mince at that, okay? I'm just telling you that usually that's not always true, but actually that's not always their focus. You know, they're like, bringing one in, I'm leaving them here, I'm bringing another one in, and I'm leaving them here, and no, I don't want to deal with that. I'm bringing another one in, and I'm leaving them here. And all the people who are here, who are catching all these people, kind of going, flipping heck. That's actually the pastoral gift. That's what we need. We need all of these things working together. You know, we need everybody functioning in their different roles, and that's all okay, that's fine. And so actually, you know, what we're talking about is, we're talking about going on a bit of a journey, and some of this will fit and make sense, and other bits will come, and let's just keep talking about it, because basically what God's doing is, I think he's just causing us to go. We're a wee bit like the church in Scotland's research and development department, you know, the guinea pigs, the ones that go first, you know, or if you like. Put it another way, we're like the Marines. First in, blast out. Yes. You know. But and that's because actually what's happening is, you know, God's actually given us the opportunity to try things, do things, have a shot at things, okay? Because what we have inherited as church life up till now isn't going to be what's coming next. So actually there's a kind of a recalibration happening. And we're part of that. And that's part of the gift that we bring the wider church, and that's actually what I want to go and talk about just now. So, next one, Karen. You're off Facebook. I'm watching you. Right, anyway, next one. So Forge is the thing that we do in terms of training other folks. Let me just tell you what's happened in the last 11 years. We trained 75 people and they're now away leading different places. Over that period of time, they've led about 35 new patterns of church or church plant or new mission projects all around Scotland, all sorts of incredible folks, incredible people. And what we want to do in the next 10 years is we basically want to ramp up from that number. We actually want to, we really want to kind of focus on seeing 500 new churches planted. Now, we're not going to do it all. We're doing it in partnership. But we want to do that in 500. And to do that, we reckon we need to train about 1,000 people, about 100 people every year who then go on to actually plant. That's what we want to do over the next kind of 10 years. We're really kind of focused on that. And so part of what we do as the Urban Monastery, part of what we do here in White Inch is we host this Forge thing and we begin to then connect with other folks. And we're working with, I think it's now going to be called the Scottish Centre for Christian Mission, which is the new name for ICC, if you want to know what that is. So they're about to rebrand and relaunch. So the Scottish Centre for Christian Mission. And one of the three strands that they're going to do is around this stuff. They're actually going to teach people how to do new church plants and new missional projects. And we're going to be working with them to do that. So we're going to be working with the Scottish Centre for Christian Mission, and we're working with the network churches. There's a network churches around Scotland. And we're working with folks like Central Church through in Edinburgh, partnering with them. And we're working with a number of other people as well. And we're doing that because actually what we are learning here will be multiplied in many other places. And we'd actually, I want to encourage you that actually the stuff that we learn the mistakes that we make, I often say this when I go places and they sort of say, oh, you've done, you know, it's amazing what White Inch has done. And I sort of say, well, that's because we've fallen down lots of holes. And we've got ourselves back up again and we're moving on a wee bit. And all we're really sharing with most of the folks is what not to do. We've got quite a long list of things not to do. Here's the list of things that we've learned. But actually, there's more things that we have also learned. And people around Scotland where we go are really, really encouraged by that. They're really blessed by that. They just think it's an amazing thing. And so I want to encourage us not to kind of, you know, not to worry about, you know, the fact that actually we're learning and we're making mistakes and all that kind of stuff. That's okay. As long as we learn from them and we can share them, those lessons with other folks, that's absolutely fine. So part of what we do then is we're doing this kind of Forge stuff. We're going to be mobilizing folks through things like CLAN, getting people involved. But also what I want to say is this, you know, talking about these sister churches, some of you guys are going to go and lead churches. I want you to know that. You know, you might not know that yet, but I'm telling you that actually that's part of what God's call in your life is. That actually we are looking for people who are willing to say, I'm willing to get trained to lead new churches. Okay, can you train me? And the first step towards that is on March 21st, Saturday, March 21st, we're going to be doing the local learning community. And the focus of that is how do you launch missional communities? Because actually, if you can learn how to do that, you'll learn how to then do the next thing as well. So we want to invite anybody who's wanting to be part of that journey and to learn about these sort of things. Because actually, we believe that these are really important. Okay, next slide, Karen. Last thing I want to sort of say is this. Remember the way of life thing? Next slide. I want to particular focus on the scattered servant thing. And scattered servants is a very simple thing. So when we think about the mission base, we've thought about not being extractional, but being incarnational. We've thought about actually the impacts on the nation. But I want to talk about the individual folks. Not me. I want to talk about the individual folks and the impact that we as individuals are going to have. God wants to scatter us through our society, okay? He wants us to become scattered servants in every place that we go, all right? And this is a phrase that we picked up when we were crossing Northern Ireland. We were talking to the guys in Cosmic Coast. They said this. They said, we don't want to be the best church in our city. We want to be the best church for our city. We want to actually enable and equip every one of us, every single one of us, so that wherever we go, we're taking Christ with us. We're scattered servants out into the workplace, out into the schools, out into colleges, out into the park, out into the leisure center, out into the shops. In every place that we go, we're expecting to see more and more of the kingdom of God come. And actually, that's really important for us. It's important for us to have that as a focus. We'll talk more about, you know, just bringing and releasing the kingdom of God wherever we are over the next few weeks. But in particular, I just wanted to sort of say, you know, we want people, each person to know that actually we are a mission base which you can come back to, be resourced and enabled and sent back out from to be scattered servants wherever you are, bringing the salt and light of the gospel to the folks that you're with. Okay, last one. What does it mean for us? Well, the first thing is it means dugs and fag breaks. That's what it means. You know, dugs and fag breaks. That's probably what it means. Genuinely, it probably means dugs coming. People bringing their dug to church. Can you imagine that? Well, actually, I can, and people do. And then maybe we need to stop in the middle for a coffee and a breath of fresh air. Because actually, you know, it was quite funny, actually, at Christmas time, I realized that Eileen was the only one that actually had a lighter with her, because she was the only one that actually smoked still. And I was thinking, there aren't enough people smoking in our church. Isn't that a strange thing to think? But there aren't. You know, there aren't enough folks who just, you know, who smoke. Because you know, again, it's this thing of we have socialized people into behaving in a particular way. But actually, that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about relationship with Jesus. Now, other stuff changes. Yeah, I mean, obviously, stuff changes as we go on in that relationship. But that is not what Christianity is about. It's not what the church is about. We're not here to modify your behavior. Anyone can come. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you live. Anyone can come. Anyone's welcome. And so, bring your dug. Bring your fags. I don't care. Bring the whole lot of them. But listen. Be ready for it. And that's really why I'm saying it. I'm just saying, be ready for it and have an open heart. And actually look at them, just what Sam was sort of saying, you know, have an open heart. Be ready for that. And it's not going to be comfortable. It's not easy. And it's a bit confusing. And it will get quite messy. And that's actually how church is. And it's how it's supposed to be. And you know, the kind of very well-behaved everybody listening. I love the fact that everybody listens. Well, most of you are listening. Karen's back on the Facebook again. But most, you know, that's not true. I'm sorry, Karen. But most, you know, but... We sit very politely, and nobody heckles. I love it.
Rubbish.
I know. It should be. And I think, you know, we need to actually have a bit more interaction, chat, and, you know, let's stop and talk and do different things. And because, yeah, and Diane's going to encourage that, because she's going to be speaking in 2 weeks' time, and you have to heckle every time you want to say something. I'm encouraging that. Yeah. Isabel, do you want to say something? Why don't you go then? That's great. Hi. Hi. You've done really great. Incredible. We just want to encourage you. Keep going. Well done. Okay, and that leads us on to the next thing, which is church for them and not for us. In some ways, that's a pretty obvious thing to say out of all the things I've been saying. But actually, it's not how most people pick their churches. Comes back to what you said. It's not actually how most people pick. Most people pick their church because the worship is good, the preaching is good, the youth work and children's work is good, and there's decent small groups, and possibly there's good pastoral care. Those are the things that most people pick churches for. And actually, we want all of the things that we do here to be excellent in those areas, okay? We're not talking about not doing those well. But what I am saying is this, that actually, if your heart attitude and your mindset is, I'm coming to church for what I can get out of it, then you've missed the point. That's my point, okay? And so there will be stuff that you think, oh, that's not very good. That's not right. These people shouldn't be here. That'll be an interesting one if you ever get that in your head. And actually, I really want to challenge that, and I want to sort of say that is not the heart of God. The heart of God is actually, you know, he came to seek and save the lost. You know, he spoke about the fact that actually it's not about the kind of going after the righteous, he said. You know, I'm not interested in the righteous. I'm interested in sinners. Give me some sinners. At which point we all go, aye, that's me. That's us. That's actually who we're talking about. We're talking about us. That's what we're talking about. Okay, and then last couple of things. We need to understand that one of the implications of kind of the Urban Monastery being a mission base is this, that mission is going to be one of the lenses through which we're going to start viewing what we do. And it's not just the only lens, but first and foremost, the lens is actually through prayer and worship. You know, it's through intimacy and then through mission, okay? And we're going to be sort of saying, well, should we be doing that? Is that actually helping us in terms of actually helping more people to come to faith in Jesus Christ? So those are the kind of questions we'll be asking, the kind of lenses. And then the last thing is this. We're all going on a missionary adventure together. And I think that's going to be pretty exciting. I hope it's not just Pamela that's getting excited today. I hope that you're all getting excited about it. And I don't know what it'll mean, but I'm just sort of saying yes to that. And I'm up for that. I'm ready for that. And I just want to encourage us all to kind of go for that. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the goodness that you show to us by showing your love to us. We thank you that you never gave up on us. You came and you found us and you rescued us and you loved us and you loved us and you loved us. And even though we turned away and even though we didn't want you, you kept on loving us until finally, by loving us, we received your love and we changed forever. We turned around and we started walking with you. And so, Lord God, we're just so grateful for that. We're grateful for the ways that you have done that. And Lord, we want to be, and we know that actually you do that through people. And you send people to show your love. And we want, just as people came and loved us into the kingdom and invited us into relationship with you, we want to do that for others as well. So for whatever that means in the next part of the journey, we say yes. We say yes, Lord. We're willing, Lord. Here we are. Send us. And Lord, we hear the word of God. You are already sent. So Lord, do what you need to us to help us to be able to take hold of this word for today. For we ask it in Jesus' name.